smallest prayer. He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It is written, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, that ye may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled unto all the fullness of God. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. He is tenderly and loving and patient with me, while he cleanses my heart of the dross. But there's no condemnation, I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. I will cling to my Savior and never depart. I will joyfully journey each day with a song in my lips and a song in my heart that my sins have been taken away. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Ephesians chapter 3, the love of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God, the Bible, has two testaments, the Old and the New Testament. It has 66 books, 1,189 chapters, and 31,173 verses. It was written by 40 different prophets or apostles over a period of 1,500 years. The Old Testament writers, for the most part, lived in different generations and different centuries, and most of them never knew each other. The New Testament was written by 8 writers, and they all knew each other and lived in the same century, the first century A.D. The Bible tells us of the love of God. It tells us how long it is, how wide it is, how high it is, and how deep it is. And Paul says his love is beyond knowledge. While it is true we cannot know the extent of the length, breadth, height, and depth of God's love, we can have the simple faith of the child who chants, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, we are weak, but he is strong." While they don't really understand much of the love of God, they can go on in their learning. That is why Paul says, four-dimensional love is beyond knowledge. No matter how much we learn about the love of God, the time comes when the greatest intellect will have to admit God's love goes beyond our earthly comprehension. Since faith comes by hearing and the hearing by the Word of God, the place to learn about the love of God is in the Word of God. The whole Bible is the Word of God. In the 5th verse of this chapter, Paul states that the revelation of God was given to the apostles and prophets. The whole Bible is the completed, revealed Word of God. We do not have the luxury of picking and choosing what we like and don't like. Some may pick and choose. One person may say, "But well, I like what Paul said when he said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.' But I don't like what he said when he said he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins." A person may say, "I like what the Lord said when he said, 'Neither do I condemn thee.'" But the same person may reject what the Lord said when he taught, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Someone may say, "I like what the Lord said about preparing a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. But I don't like what the Lord said about 'Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire.'" Another would say, "I like what Paul said when he said, 'If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal.' But I don't like what he said when he said, 'Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine.'" Now hear about the four-dimensional love of God in the 18th verse. "That we may be strong to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge." How broad is the love of the Lord? What is the breadth of it? How will you measure that dimension? We measure it one way, by the Great Commission. The book of Acts contains the history of how the apostles carried out the Great Commission of Jesus. It is the book of conversions of many elements of society. The gospel appealed to such a wide range of people as the unbelieving scholar Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Then also an humble seamstress named Dorcas. Then there were at least 2 governors and 3 kings, along with government officials like the Ethiopian eunuch and the Philippian jailer, and also a business lady by the name of Lydia. How about the tent maker Aquila and his wife Priscilla, who heard Paul and became valuable assistants? Then there were members of the elite guard of Nero, who heard Paul and became Christians, and also other soldiers such as the centurion Cornelius. Did Jesus say, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all the people only in Judea? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved"? Did he say, "We are all to go into all the suburbs of America and preach the gospel to all the middle-class white people. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did he caution us to stay out of the inner city? Why is it that through the years we have seen churches in the main part of town move out to the suburbs when the wrong kind of people move in? People move out to the suburbs and take the church with them. In Luke 13, someone asked the Lord a loaded question. Are there a few who shall be saved? Compare that with a statement in Revelation 7. After these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, out of every nation and of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. I know of one preacher who is doing a magnificent job in a large city, working with the inner city people. He told me, I like grass, I like rabbits, I like birds, and I like squirrels. I like to live in the suburbs, but that is not where the people are. Did the Lord mean that we are to ignore the down and out and preach only the gospel to the up and in? How broad is the love of God? It is broad enough to take to the people of every race and every nationality. It is broad enough to take in every generation and every century. Jesus tells us in Revelation, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to the God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the breadth of the love of God. Now consider the length of the love of God. How long is his love? The length of God's four-dimensional love stretches from Genesis, the third chapter, where God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and he would bruise his heel. God then slew an animal to make clothing for Adam and Eve, showing that there had to be the shedding of blood to cover their nakedness. Fig leaves are very thick leaves, and they thought the fig leaf clothing they had made was enough to cover their nakedness. Adam had a fig leaf suit, and the label inside of the coat said, Genuine fig leaf, made in hell, and the tailor was the devil. There are many today who think the fig leaves of good works is sufficient to cover the nakedness of their sin, but it will not be enough on the judgment day. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 22 about a man who tried to get into the king's son's wedding who was not wearing the wedding garment that had been provided. And the king said, Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the utter darkness. The wedding garment of the blood of the slain Lamb of God is the only acceptable garment of righteousness that the king will accept. Galatians 3:27 is very suggestive about how one can wear the wedding garment when Paul says, As many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Another thought as to the length of God's love is the length of time he will wait for anyone to become a Christian. He will wait until the end of your life, however long that may be. I know one man who listened to this program and at the age of 100 believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized in a creek. The love of God stretches all the way from Genesis to Revelation 20 to the point where John writes, And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Then to the last chapter of the Bible where it is said, Blessed are they who have washed their robes and made them white, that they may have a right to enter in through the gates into the city. We note the length of the story of the cross. How far would Jesus go to show his love for us? He went as far as he could go. He gave his life. He said one time that greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for everybody. Not just for one person, but for everybody that ever lived. He tasted of death once for every man. Not just for me, but for you. Not just for you, but for everybody else. How long is his love? He not only died for every person, but he also bore all the sins of every person. Christ died for our sins. It wasn't just for my sins that he felt the guilt. He felt the guilt of every sin that was ever done by anybody, anytime, anywhere. There is no person who has sinned to the extent. But what Jesus will forgive if they turn to him in faith, repentance, and obedience and immersion. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. John in Revelation refers to the book of life that has the names of the redeemed from the foundation of the world. In Hebrews, Paul tells us, he is able to save unto the uttermost. That is a length of the love of Jesus. And that is a second dimension of the four-dimensional love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the third dimension of the love of God is the height of his love. How high is it? If we look to the Great Commission, that we see the breadth, and to the cross to see the length, we need to look at the cradle to see the height of God's four-dimensional love. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus considered not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Jesus left the highest point of heaven at the right hand of the Father and came down to a stable. The height was at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and you can't get any higher than that. I don't know all that's going on in heaven right now, but I know there is nothing going on up there that God has any more interest in than what is going on down here on earth. You can't get any higher than that. Now we have noted the breadth, length, and height of the love of God. Now how about the depth of his love? How deep is his love? We see the depth of his love in the resurrection. Jesus descended into the spirit world. He went into Hades on the day of Pentecost. Peter said on that day in the first gospel sermon that the prophecy was fulfilled when he arose from the dead. Thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades. Some may think that Jesus descended into hell. Jesus did not descend into hell after he died. He went to hell before he died. He was suffering the torments of hell on the cross when he died for our sins. Today we have instant coffee. We have instant tea. The cross was instant hell, damnation, instant damnation. It was eternities of hell compacted and telescoped into 6 horrible hours on the cross. I wish I could tell you more about that, but I can't. After he died, he went into the spirit world. Jesus called the part where he went paradise. That's where he said he would be with a thief on the cross that day. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the depth of the four-dimensional love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in conclusion, the final point made in Ephesians chapter 3 is when he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. Most folk don't think God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ever ask or think. We sometimes think that God is limited to operating on our level. God's level is much higher. The prodigal son thought he would be lucky to get back into the father's house as a hired servant. The father did exceeding abundantly more than the prodigal son thought. He ran to meet him, fell on his neck, kissed him, gave him a robe, put a ring on his hand. Then he put shoes on his feet. Then he killed the fatted calf. And then the party began. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Sarah did not believe she could have a son at 90 years of age. Humanly speaking, it could not be done. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not believe it was possible to have a son as a virgin. How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Gabriel said, "No word of God shall be void of power." Jesus was born of the virgin because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Nebuchadnezzar did not think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could survive in the fiery furnace. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." The apostles thought it was impossible for a literal camel to go through a literal eye of a literal needle. Modern-day unbelief is often shown in the attempt to make the camel kneel before entering a small gate called the eye of a needle. Well, there is no need for such an explanation as that, when you consider that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. The invention of the Hubble telescope has revised our thinking about outer space. Astronomers are amazed to find out that the number of galaxies in the universe was far greater than anyone ever imagined. They used to say there were about 10 billion galaxies. Now they have upped the ante and are saying make it 50 billion. Each galaxy, they say, has 50 billion to 100 billion stars. We have come to the conclusion that we need to think of the Bible and the church in a similar way. By looking through the telescope of faith, we can see the importance of both is far greater than we ever thought. Think of the cross of the Lord Jesus. It reaches up to the highest point of the third heaven. It reaches down to the lowest point of damnation. It reaches out to the east and the west, and that distance is immeasurable because never the twain shall meet. But with Jesus, east meets west and west meets east at Jesus' pierced feet. Then, too, we have to admit we have been short-sighted regarding this radio broadcast. We knew that it was heard over a great expanse of the world, but by taking another look through the telescope of faith, we now know that it is heard in the third heaven. Think of it. It is heard by an innumerable host of angels, not to mention the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then, too, turn the telescope of faith in another direction, and we can see that this program, this broadcast, is being heard by the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places, heard by the devil himself. And if he is too busy to listen, he will get a full report on his desk every Monday morning from whatever demon has been assigned to ride herd on me. Praise the Lord that in his four-dimensional love, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. There is no reason for us to doubt that God can and will deliver, because thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. Now think of that wonderful promise. God is able. But not only is he able to do. But not only is he able to do, he is able to do abundantly. But not only is he able to do abundantly, he is able to do abundantly above all. But not only is he able to do abundantly above all, he is able to do abundantly above all we can ever ask. But not only is he able to do abundantly all that we can ever ask, he is able to do abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. God is able. Unto him be the glory in the church, unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.